Good morning. Today's scripture is from the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verses 9 through 20. I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me, and when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet and with a golden sash around his chest. The hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all of its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. Write, therefore, what you have seen, what is now and what will take place later, the mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and of the seven golden lampstands is this. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. The word of God for the people of God.
Today we're going to conclude our messages we've been preaching on the resurrection encounters and on those things in our lives, that those emotions that we face, that God gives us an opportunity with these emotions either to choose good, or we can allow them, because we live in this broken, corrupt world, to lead us into places that are not good. Our emotions, as we've talked about before, are a gift from God. They let us know something's going on within us. And they can lead us either to something good, or help us to deal with a problem, or recognize something in our life, or they can lead us into trouble. Over the last few weeks, we've talked about fear and gladness and sadness and doubt and shame and guilt and hurt and anger, and how each one of these things can either lead us to something good, to something that God can use and help us in our lives, or can lead us to a place that isn't good. Today, we're going to look at one last emotion, though there are some others we could probably look at. We're going to look at loneliness. And I don't know about you, but sometimes we can feel lonely even when we're in a crowd. In fact, I think sometimes that's the worst type of loneliness. You're surrounded by people, and yet you feel like you're all alone. And loneliness comes to us in our lives, and it can lead us to either a place of apathy, a place of who cares, or it can lead us to a place of intimacy, a place where we can grow close to God. Now, sometimes what will happen when somebody's lonely is they'll seek intimacy through to other people, sometimes through relationships that aren't good. So though that isn't listed up there, I'm not going to talk about it a lot, that can happen too. You're lonely, therefore I'll find someone, because someone will fill my needs. Growing up, I had this record from a musical called Brigadoon. And I just love the musical. I've actually never seen it performed on stage. I would love to sometime, but who knows if that'll ever happen. But one of the songs in the musical, a woman is talking to her relative who's getting married, and she says, Fiona, you need to find someone. She's like, why? What's the thing? And then she goes on starts singing when the right man comes, but she starts off saying, for many women, there's only two qualifications, that he's a man and that he's alive. Why? Because when you feel lonely, you're like, I've got to have intimacy. I need someone in my life, so I'll pick anyone. You'll do. No, they won't. Many of you figured that one out. You've known that. Or you've seen people who've chosen people because they were desperate to have someone. Because they were lonely. But loneliness is a time for us to realize that we need to seek someone who can meet our needs all the time. And that person is God. That person is God because He will always be there. The person that you... Now, I believe in intimacy. I believe that we, as human beings, God's created us to have people in our lives. And I'm a big believer in marriage. I like being married. I don't want to choose something else. But if something would happen, praying if it does, I want to seek God first and foremost to fill any loneliness. Because a lot of times when we try to fill it ourselves, we end up in trouble because we choose the wrong things. We either choose the wrong person or we choose just be apathetic about the world around us. We look at the Apostle John. John was, as we see, was in the Isle of Patmos. He had suffered. Tradition says that once they tried to kill him and the arrows they tried to shoot him with didn't hit him, or didn't ward and hurt him. Then they thought, we'll boil him in oil. So they threw him in boiling oil. Now, if anyone's ever been burnt by oil, you can about know what that might have felt like. This wasn't just in part of his body. This was all of him. Tradition says when he came out, when they pulled him out of it, his body was red all over. Though God may have kept him from the pain, he may not have. So he suffered. And while he was going through some of the times of being in jail and being in these places, he had support. These seven churches that we read about in Revelation, they sent people to him to help encourage him and take care of him. But then all of a sudden, after they couldn't figure out how to kill him, and death wouldn't stay, they thought, we'll just stick him on the Isle of Patmos. And what they would do is they would throw them in these caves with little to no light, no way to get support. His support system, those people from those seven churches that would come and encourage him, were now gone. He's in the dark most of the time, and it was pretty much either work or starve. They would bring down the baskets or the buckets that you were supposed to fill with the right ore to take out. And if you didn't fill it, you didn't get fed. So he was alone. Truly and honestly alone. And after everything else he suffered, he may have wondered what's going on. He may have been asking, God, I'm trusting you, I love you. I know that you said that I wouldn't die, possibly like some of the other ones, but this is going on along here. What's happening? We don't see that. In fact, what we do see is John says that he was on the Isle of Patmos. He was in the Spirit. In other words, he was trying to make sure he was connected, kept that connection right with God. Though he was physically alone, he was still reaching out and trying to and talking to God. He was in prayer, and it says he was in the Spirit. And as he was in the Spirit, God showed him, "Hey, John, you're really not alone." As far as John could see, when he had the candle lit, was he was there by himself. It's me, the rocks, and more rocks. How exciting. But now all of a sudden he has this vision of Jesus. Standing there. And he realized he was not alone. Not only does he realize he was not alone, he gives him a vision of Jesus standing in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Tradition tells us that John had a special relationship with these seven churches. I don't know about you, sometimes when you're in the midst of something going on, sometimes you're worried about yourself, but sometimes you're also concerned about those other people in your life. Nowadays, with the technologies we have, we're not as separated as we used to be. I remember hearing about the stories about people when they would go off and be part of the military. They would be shipped overseas, and you might hopefully get a letter from them occasionally. And you wouldn't always be able to find out what was going on or what was happening. And sometimes the hardship for the person on the field wasn't necessarily the fact that they were being shot at or they were alone, but they didn't know what was happening with their friends and their family back home. In fact, I was reading just this week about the Revolutionary War and how at some times they would have the people come out and they would volunteer to be part of the fighting against the British, and then all of a sudden they'd realize, you know what, I don't know what, maybe something's gone wrong back home. The fields aren't getting planted. My family's not being taken care of. And all of a sudden, when nobody was looking, all of a sudden, they snuck off. And sometimes they'd sneak back. And they never quite knew how many, for the guys in charge, it was like, how many troops do we have today? Nobody knows. But why would they do that? Because they were worried, they were concerned. And so John, for himself, I have to believe, and as a pastor, I think I understand a little bit of it. Some of my concern isn't just where I'm at, but where are my people? And John's relationship with these people have taken on something deeper because he had been working with them for years. Years. And now all of a sudden he's cut off from them. He doesn't know what's happening with them. He's alone. But now all of a sudden Jesus reveals to him, and I think it was because he was seeking God, he was in the Spirit, he was taking that loneliness and reaching out to God. God was showing him he was not alone, and he wasn't not alone, but the people he cared about weren't alone. See, John, I think, realized what we should realize. We're never alone because we are God's temple. And the scriptures say, and here in Revelation, it makes it clear that Jesus, that God is in our midst. Let me tell you something. If you're a Christian, you're never truly alone. Now, I'll tell you, I felt it a few times. I felt it more than a few times. I guess like God, what's going on? I feel like it's me and you against the world, and I'm not sure exactly where you are right now. It's a real spiritual prayer, I know, but it was what I felt. But I knew the scripture says, God is with me. So God reminded John, you are not alone. And see, this wasn't just John just sitting there just saying, oh, I feel horrible. No, he was in the Spirit. He was praying. He was seeking God. See, that's that active part. He wasn't just sitting there becoming apathetic thinking, oh. Now, he may have had moments like that. We don't know. I think if you spend all day breaking big rocks into little rocks and pile them into baskets so you can make sure to get fed that day, there are days you've got to feel discouraged. But John, in this instance, was reminded he's not alone. We'll get to that one in a minute. He was told, I am here and I'm not just taking care of you. I am in the midst of those things you care about. And he tells him to write a letter. Well, here's something we may not catch. If you're supposed to write something to send it, you've got to have something else. You've got to have somebody who's willing to take the letter. So in the midst of this, God has promised him, I'm going to make sure that what you're doing is going to get out. You're not going to be forgotten. You're not going to be just there alone until you're dead and that's it. I've got a purpose. And what you're doing is going to go forth. It's going to those right people. It's going to those people you care about. You're not alone, and those you care about aren't alone. We are not alone. Jesus is in our midst. Sometimes we feel it. Sometimes we know it. The other day at the house, I had a really dumb song going through my mind. If you say, what is it? I don't remember, and I don't want to remember. I don't want to remember what it was, because it was annoying. And so I was like, I'll pull out this Christian song that I like and listen to it, because it always seems to revive my soul. I turned it on, and all of a sudden, I'm in there trying to finish up some dishes. And God came to the parsonage. He stood with me in that kitchen while I was emptying in dishes and trying to dry those things. You know, that plastic never dries good out of the dishwasher. And yet, I felt God. And I knew I was not alone. What I do, I try to seek God, and God met me where I was. And God will meet us where we're at. Sometimes we do suffer, and we'll suffer for a time. But let me tell you something, we are not alone. God says He's there. He's in our midst. In many cultures, many of you may have heard, at a certain age, they would take young men and they would send them out to see what it's like to face the wilderness alone. And they feel alone. They feel like they're by themselves. But actually, they're not. They've got the wise counselors, the other hunters there around them, keeping an eye on them just in case. And sometimes we feel like that. We feel like we've been just cast out and now we're out there by ourselves. But let me tell you something, we are not alone. We're being watched over by God. Jesus is in our midst. If we're saved, Jesus is in us. We're there and He's there. We may not see it physically, but He is in our midst. The wild thing, the crazy thing that I think in the book of Revelation, there's one repeated phrase, come. Come. John's on the Isle of Patmos, you know, yes, he's just got this vision, and all of a sudden heaven's open and he hears, come up. Come on. You think, well, he's in the cave. How is he going to get there? Because God. And let me tell you something. God's invitation is always come. You feel alone? Come to me. You feel troubled? Come to me. And there's times in our lives when we may be like those in Revelation who look to heaven and say, come, Lord Jesus. Because God wants us to be together. He does not want us to be alone. Let me tell you something this morning. You're not alone. You may feel it. And you may look around the situations around you and you may say, but what about this? Yeah, those may be bad. They may be horrible. But you're not alone. Jesus is with you. And you may not wait, though you may not realize it, you may be surrounded by more people who love you than you know. And one of these days, Jesus will say, come. And when we enter his presence, we'll realize how much he loves us and how much he's been there for us the whole time. Because loneliness reminds us we need intimacy. Loneliness reminds us that we're not designed to do it on our own. And that loneliness needs to bring us to that place where we look to God, because He is ultimately the one who can fill that spot in our heart. Because if we try to fill it with anything else or just give up on life, we'll end up missing out on the really good things that God has for us. I don't know what you face, and I don't know where you're at right now. Maybe today you feel like you're surrounded by your family and your loved ones and everything's great. I'm glad. But there may come a time when you feel all alone. And when that time comes, look to Jesus and say, Lord, come. Let me feel your presence. Remind me I am not alone. And I believe He will. He'll let you know you're not alone. And He is there. He's there for you. He's there to help you. And guess what? He loves you. He's not standing there saying, yep, I'm here. I don't want to be, but I've got to be. And have you ever had to have somebody like that in your life? Sometimes I've had teachers I thought they were like that. They weren't there because they loved teaching. They were there because they were getting a paycheck and they had to be. They were not fun to be around. Well, when you're around somebody who loves you, there is no loneliness. There's just that wonderful feeling. And we can have that in Jesus Christ. Dear Father, I ask right now that you would reach down and touch us. Meet us where we're at. Lord, sometimes we feel alone. But remind us, we are not alone. That you're there for us, and you're there to be with us. Walk with us, Lord, as we face this world and the difficulties that come. And Lord, as we in a moment join our voices together in song, let us sing, let us praise you, because Lord, you are the one that meets that need, that reminds us that we are never truly alone. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The song we're getting ready to sing was written by a man who lost much. His business had failed. Things had gone wrong. He sent his family across on a ship and got a telegram from his wife saying, safe, alone. His children had died. I can't imagine. But as he crossed the ocean, they came to the spot where that ship went down. The captain said, this is the place. And he stood there and looked over and saw the sea bellows, the rolling waves, and went down and wrote this song. It is well with my soul. So in the midst of his loneliness, he realized he wasn't alone. Let's sing together.
Yeah.
may this week the Lord be with you and watch over you in a special way, and may you know that you are never alone, that it is well with your soul. God bless you, and go with God. Amen.